Welcome to Dark Side Adventures, an exploration into kink, sex, fetish, leather, and the BDSM lifestyle. We are a podcast for mature audiences. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to Dark Side Adventures.
Today we are outside and together.
Yay! Which is why recording may sound a little weird because we have to use one microphone today.
Coco did not figure out how to record with two microphones before we thought about going camping.
So we are camping in the middle of beautiful, beautiful scenery right now.
It was gorgeous. We're right next to a little river. We've got a fire going on. Hopefully you all can enjoy the ambiance with us.
Beautiful here. And being from where I'm at, where it's been 100 plus degrees for 2 weeks, where I'm at now, it's been a relief.
It's like, right now it's probably 60s and it is gorgeous.
Yes, it is just what I needed after the long weeks in past.
Yes.
So we just wanted to record a fun, quick little episode since we are both together today.
Yay!
And we actually do plan on recording another episode to be released later this month. But we're going to record...
Just later.
Yeah.
No promises on when it's being released, but later.
Yes, so later. And we'll have a special guest star, so...
Yay! Our first one of the season! Woo-hoo.
So today we are kind of going to talk about ourselves and four questions that you may want to know about us.
We also thought, as we have guests come on the podcast, we would like to consistency. Not the word I was looking for, but that one will work. We wanted to have some consistency and kind of tie in each guest to our show. So we've decided that Lucy and I have put together four questions that we are going to answer for this episode, and we are going to ask at least one question of these four to every guest that's on our show.
Yes, and we think that'll be a fun way for you not only to get to know us, but to get to know our guests and kind of their experience as well. So, you know, we're not kind of coming at you blindside with what some of these... Oh, we didn't just find someone off the street.
Exactly. It also, I think it'll really help us highlight the fact that kink is not always what you see in porn and puts a real life perspective onto some of these things. Should we tell them the four questions we're going to answer, or should we leave them in suspense till we answer them?
I was going to say, let's ask the first question, answer the first question, then do the second question.
Deal. We will leave you all in suspense. First question, Lucy. What has been your favorite scene?
So, honestly, my favorite scene was actually one of my first scenes. Mm-hmm. I got the ability to go to the opening to a brand new dungeon right before my birthday, if not the day of my birthday.
I remember this one.
So, I was the quote-unquote featured scene of the evening, and I got birthday spankings.
Mm-hmm.
But the way we set up my birthday spankings was I was turning 29, and so 29 different people got to spank me.
Wrong. 24 different people.
Oh, that's right. 24 different people got to spank me, and then I ranked out of them who was the highest five, and then they got to come back for a second go. And Coco was my, like, spotter for that scene. And
most scenes, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. And so she sat there and, like, held my hand and let me, like, announced my numbers that I... Because I ranked everybody, I think, between 1 and 10.
Correct.
And so she would rank my numbers based on what I had said. Because sometimes it was a little squeak of, like, a 8.
Uh-huh.
Or sometimes it was a 2.
And sometimes it was just muffled into the spanking bench, and I'm like, I'm sorry, say that again.
But the last spank and the person that ended up winning moved the entire spanking bench forward.
Yes. Others had moved it a little bit, and I had learned not to put my knee in front of it. But this last one, Lucy, like, clutched my arm a little tighter, so I scooched in a little bit more, and it ran my knee over. It was great.
And he actually ended up winning, like, a certificate that called him, like, Spank Master of the Year or something like that.
It was something silly.
And then a friend of ours actually made a personalized toy for him.
Yes.
Then that was part of the prize. So it was a very fun scene, and it was one of my very first, but it made me feel very welcome in the community. Yes. And it was also just, I'll be honest, exhibitionist. It was kind of fun to have the center of attention for a little while Absolutely. Everyone stood around and watched me get my ass beat. So. Yeah.
Well, that just goes to show that not every scene has to be the most serious, intense scene in the world. You can have fun with it.
Or has to be a sexual scene, because exactly. there was nothing sexual about that
absolutely
scene.
Absolutely not.
It was just a lot of fun and a lot of laughter and a lot of me crying out and pain and happiness.
Yeah. I remember that scene. It was a really good scene. A lot of people, there were quite a few people in the dungeon when it opened,
mm-hmm.
and not everybody participated, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And some people participated who are definitely not tops, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was one of the first like five people yeah. to go, because I don't top and I feel very uncomfortable topping. And so I was like, let me give a quick one. Gonna be nice and light, and I will hold your hand now.
Mm-hmm.
But Lucy had requested that I be involved in the spanking, so I said okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I even had my sir involved in the spanking, which he was like,
he was not the one that won.
No, he was.
Spoiler
not.
Alert.
He was actually worried. Like, he was like, I didn't do my full thing because I was afraid that like if you ended up picking me, it would feel like favoritism. And I was like,
Sure, right, McClanahan.
Whatever. But no, it was a very fun scene, and it would be something I would definitely do again.
Oh, it would be so much fun. I think that makes me want to do that for my birthday this year.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm turning 29. We can make it a 29th thing. Or if I did it next year, I could be 30 and
yeah, that's
it'd be
fair.
An even number. I mean, we did yours because the dungeon opened.
Yeah. All right, what was your favorite scene?
I have two that come to mind. One I think I've already spoken about on the podcast, so I will let you guys go back and see if I have spoken about it. It was a wax scene with a previous partner of mine, my last master. But this other one I know I haven't spoken about. It was more recent. It was a very fun scene. It was actually with McClanahan, Lucy's sir. We were at a leather convention. Should I name which one it was?
You can name the leather convention.
Okay. We went to Beyond Vanilla, and we were playing in the dungeon. Poor Lucy did not get to watch it. She was DMing in a different dungeon. I think she was in the rope dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And McClanahan and I, it was the first time we had actually played more than just a haha, tease, here's some fire.
Yeah.
So first time we had done impact. So I was comfortable playing with him, but it was our first real big intense scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked to cry. I was like, it's not done until I cry, and then I tell you to stop. Because crying is not a safe word for me at this point. So I think it took us like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was a long scene, if I remember correctly.
And I giggled through the entire thing. I think we did paddles and floggers, and I know we pulled out canes at one point, mm-hmm. and all sorts of implements. And I wanted to cry so bad. I needed it so much. And I just giggled and giggled and giggled. And wiggled because I move, and we were on a massage table, which was not smart on our part. I should have known better. I did not fall off the massage table. Just giggled and moved a lot. And at one point, it was not like he was going easy. He kept ramping it up and ramping it up and ramping it up. And at one point, afterwards, he was telling me, he was like, I just didn't know what to do. And he just started pinching my thighs. I was laying on my back. So he just started pinching my thighs. And that is what broke me and made me cry. Out of all things, it wasn't like he was pinching hard. It was just kind of like grabbing my thigh and grabbing my thigh, like right around my knees. And I just bawled. And it was amazing. McClanahan has a way of snarking to my snark.
Yeah. Watching, I was bummed that I didn't get to watch the two of them play the first time because mm-hmm. he is my sir and, you know, Coco's my sister.
And I always watch Lucy play for the first time.
Yeah. And so it was kind of a thing, but it wasn't a jealousy thing as much as it was a jealousy thing that I didn't get to see it.
It was a disappointment.
Exactly. That's a better way to phrase it. And so I was more disappointed about that aspect of it, but it's so fun to watch the two of them scene because they are so different than the way that me and him scene.
Yes.
They snark at each other and she giggles at him and it's just very, very fun to watch. And so like, I've gotten to watch scenes with them afterwards and it's been just
very much
fun.
The same.
Yeah.
We really do. We snark at each other and we play off of each other's snark. I remember during the scene he told me, I said, ouch, that fucking hurt. And he was like, well, you asked for it to hurt. And I was like, I know, I didn't tell you to stop. I just said it fucking hurt. And so what did he do in response? He laid the paddle down even harder.
Yep.
So it was great. And then I think I called him some sort of name. I don't remember at this point.
I think you called him a bastard.
Probably. That tends to be what comes out of my mouth is, you fucking bastard. And he said, you asked for me to be a bastard and you haven't started crying yet. So that just means I need to be more of one.
Sounds like my sir.
Yes. So that is just... Was it an intense scene? Yeah, absolutely. We played for a long time. And I know we had people come up afterwards that were just like, I loved your scene and your giggle was fantastic. And like, I couldn't have done that. But that's not what we were going for. Like, yeah, the praise was great. Like, praise kink here. But we were going for the connection and the catharsis and the fun of it.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is, if you notice, both of our scenes were fun.
Yes. And neither of them were sexual.
Yeah. So, you know... Just to say, scenes can be fun and they don't have to be sexual. Yes.
A reminder, kink is not inherently sexual. It can include sex and sexual things, but they are not mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
They can be inclusive, but they are not exclusive.
Kink is always kink, but sex is not always kink.
Exactly.
So our next question... Coco, what is your favorite negotiation question? When you sit down to have negotiations with someone, what is something that you look for and one that you go, oh yeah, this means I know I'm good to play with this person?
So it's not one that I always think needs to be included. However, and it's not one I've included until recently because it is something I learned and I went, oh fuck, I like that. But... When I was first negotiating, it actually happened with two different people in the local community, Sir Ironhead and Miss Binks. They both turned to me and said, I want you to say no to this question. And they asked some off-the-wall fucking question. One of them I actually is something I want to do, but I knew the point of the question. Somebody asked if they could fuck me with a football, and I said, yes, I want that, but that is not the point of the scene tonight, so nope.
Mm-hmm.
And Ironhead asked that one, and Binks had asked something like, because we were talking about degradation and humiliation, and I think she asked if she could shave my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, absolutely not. It's pretty right now. But the point of that is, one, the top wants to see how you say no.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gives you an idea. The other day we had a negotiation class and Binks was teaching it. And she had asked the person who volunteered to show a practice negotiation with them, can I cut up your leg and feed it to you? And they gasped a little bit, took a step back and like had a dirty look on their face. Like, nope, not my kink. And that was the point of her question. Mm-hmm. She wanted to say how they said no, because then you can see the body language and how they say no. You can see because they took a step back. Mm-hmm. That means that when they're getting to the end of their scene and their end of their tolerance, they're going to try to avoid that gasp. A lot of times means I'm going to hold my breath when I'm getting to the end. I want to do that, but gives you the idea of like, I like kind of like crouched in on myself because I was excited about the football one.
Yeah.
But then I stood up and was like, no.
Yeah.
You can see that there was a firm no in there. It might take me a second to decide, is this really what I want? No, not this scene. Mm-hmm. But it gives you that body language of saying, this is how they're going to say no. This is how they're going to react when they get to the end. Mm-hmm. That, and it shows the top that I am willing to tell them no.
Yeah.
And I want my bound. I know what my boundaries are. Mm-hmm. That's not to say somebody new who doesn't know what their boundaries are isn't going to say no, but they're going to, that'll give you an idea of, okay, we might need to explore those boundaries just a touch more. Mm-hmm. And it, I know for Binks, she told me that it, when we had seen together and she asked if she could cut my hair off, she was like that, like, she thanks me for the no. Mm-hmm. And then second, she's like, that makes me feel like I know I can trust you to say no to me. Because I know a lot of new people who, I'm seeing, I can't say no because they're doing this for me.
It's that frenzy aspect that a lot of people do get that we will have to discuss at some point. But it's that frenzy aspect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just...
But no, I like that a lot. And that's and so I do like that. That's something that I'll have to start including in my negotiations as well, because I've never thought about that before. Yeah.
Again, I hadn't either until I negotiated with Binks first. And then Sir Ironhead, who is her mentor, did it the same. And I was just like, like, I actually really do like that, especially for somebody who I've never played with before.
Yeah.
Or who I've never had the necessary moment to say no.
Yeah. And I mean, as a submissive, that's not something that you necessarily think about always. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really good thing to put into people's minds of make sure you know what no looks like as much as what the word is.
Absolutely. So I like that a lot. Absolutely.
So I think my favorite negotiation, I'm just going to jump into it, was something that actually an ex started doing with me that I hadn't thought about, but... The what do you want from this scene?
Oh, that's a good one.
What do you want to achieve? Do you want to achieve something sexual? Do you want to achieve catharsis? Do you want to cry? Do you want to have bruises up and down your body that, you know, all of those things are very important to ask, because you and your top or you and your bottom should both go into the scene knowing exactly what everybody wants from it.
Absolutely.
And oddly, it's something that, like, I'm sure that Sir had asked me previously, but for whatever reason, it stuck when Ted started saying it to me. And so, because we'd sit down to negotiate, and we knew each other fairly well. We'd played before. I was kind of his demo bottom for a while. But even at that point, he would sit down with me. What do you want from this scene? And that made all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
Because I will never forget the scene that I sat in and I was like, I need to cry.
Yeah.
Just like you did with Sir. I need to cry.
Yeah.
And if I cry, that's okay. Keep going. I'll let you know when I want you to stop.
Exactly.
And he went, okay. And Lord, did he fulfill. So, you know, it's a good thing to know what you want out of a scene, because you don't want to go in on either side wondering, thinking it's going to come out with something and it's not what the other person expects.
Absolutely. On the note of catharsism and wanting that out of a scene, depending on who you play with, you may not get it. And that is completely okay. 100%. Like, that's completely okay. When I went and played with Sir Ironhead, I was like, look, this is what I want out of a scene. I would like catharsis, but I just want a good old beating.
Yeah.
And he warned me. He's like, you may not get it from me. This is the first time we've played together, and yes, we've seen each other around and we've had conversations, but I would like, he hadn't played in public since before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't ever watched him play.
Yeah.
I had only heard things happen, like heard stories of what had happened and how he played. And I knew, like, I knew of his character from the conversations we'd had, and I knew the energy he brought. And so those were conversations we had. I was like, yeah, I'm not, would I like catharsis? Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love to play to catharsis, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's the only way I'll play.
Yeah.
And that if I don't get catharsis, I'm going to be so upset. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with, as long as you are enjoying the scene, there's nothing wrong with not reaching catharsis.
Exactly. Or not necessarily reaching the goal. You may start it with one goal in mind and then you get partway through it and you're like, oh no, that was not what I wanted.
Exactly.
And that's perfectly fine. Call the scene if you need to.
Absolutely. On both sides. It's okay for a top to call the scene.
100%. Master Wolf, who I have not played with in a while, but who I've played with previously, there would honestly be times where I would think I was still ready and he'd come up and he'd be like, hey, we're going to call the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of flinching away from things a little bit and you're doing some of those things. He could read by nose.
Exactly.
And so, you know, he was able to call the scene before, and it's not that I wasn't comfortable calling the scene with him or anything like that.
But it was sometimes just, your mind and your body are on different pages.
Exactly. And so, you know, he would call the scene, and I never faulted him for that. Mm-hmm. I would never fault him for that. He was looking out for me as a bottom.
Okay. Well, then, your top is human.
Yeah.
Right? They have every right to call a scene when they are done, when they think that you are done and they do not want to inflict more injury. They have every right to call the scene.
100%.
As much as the bottom does.
100%. And I mean, that all gets into consent, which we will get into in another episode for sure. But I mean, it's still something positive to know right now.
Agreed.
Whoever can call the scene can call the scene.
Absolutely. Just like if you bring in a third party person to watch. I watch a lot of Lucy's first scenes with people. And even scenes with other people that I know she's played with before. For example, I know you've played with Fire before. Yeah. And I called one of your scenes for him.
Yep.
Because he looked at me as you were playing. Because he was like, I feel like maybe a little more. And I was like, nope. And he was like, okay, totally okay.
Yep.
Right? That's something to negotiate in.
Yeah.
So.
But Fire and I had not played that hard
before. No, you had not played that hard before. Which is,
we had played very hard.
Exactly, which is why he looked at me for guidance.
And he doesn't usually play very hard, too. So it was a learning experience for both of us. Yes. But it was very enjoyable. And exactly. I got very great cuddles that night.
Yes, you did. That leads perfectly into our next question. What is your favorite aftercare, Lucy?
Oh, aftercare is so important. Right now, honestly, my aftercare routine, and I'm trying to work on it because there's one part of this that I know I need to quit. I enjoy cuddles. Mm-hmm. I am very much so a lay together, snuggle for a little bit. Even if it's just me wrapped in a blanket, head on your lap while you pet my head. Mm-hmm. I just want that little bit of affection afterwards. After I'm used to that and I've kind of relaxed a little bit, I do go out and have a cigarette. And that is a perfectly acceptable form of aftercare for those of you that are sitting there going, because that gives me a time to step outside of the space. Mm-hmm. It gives me a time to focus on myself, kind of flip through my phone and be self-reflective.
There you go.
About what had just happened and things like that. And it gives me that moment. No, you don't have to smoke a cigarette and do that, but that's my
thing. Coco doesn't do that.
Yeah. So, you know, that's my thing with it. That's something that I need to do as part of my aftercare. And then check in on me afterwards.
Yeah.
That's my other big thing. Make sure that I'm doing okay. Drop is real. You know, even if you just send me a quick text message saying, hey, thinking about you today, how are you feeling?
Uh-huh.
So, but honestly, I'm not a big snacks person or water person or things like that. I'm a very much so physical touch, give me a minute, physical touch me again person.
Yes.
And Coco has had to deal with that a lot because she has occasionally been my aftercare buddy.
Yes, because a third-party aftercare person is completely acceptable as long as you negotiate it.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a point where Sir and I were unable to spend evenings together and things like that, and so he would give me aftercare that I needed immediately, but sometimes Coco would be left too. the follow-up.
Yes, which is totally okay. And that's part of where Lucy and I differ. I am not a huge physical touch person after a scene. I enjoy a moment just after the scene to take a deep breath and kind of center myself again. And then I like a hug. And then I enjoy cleaning up the space.
Mm-hmm.
The toys, if I'm allowed to. The cross or the spanking bench or whatever apparition we're mm-hmm. on. And I like to go bounce around and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
I like a little bit of water, snacks. Sometimes it depends on the scene. And I love to bounce around and I love to talk. I love a debrief about the scene. Give me a minute because I'm still processing it. But I love a debrief about the scene. And then I don't tend to drop for a couple days.
Yeah.
So I absolutely request both that I am able to reach out and that they reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the drop is pretty mild and it's like, oh, this is a shitty day. I'm gonna eat some chocolate and move on. And other days I'm like, whoo, this is an awful day. Mm-hmm. Somebody please tell me that everything is okay.
Yeah. No,
give me affirmations.
Yeah. Well, and I also want to add that aftercare too, I didn't mean to cut you off, but aftercare too can also be if you're watching your dominant or your partner scene. One of the things that I used to love to do, my dominant is fire top. Mm-hmm. He's very good with fire cupping. And so he would demo fire cups a lot on people when we were at the dungeon. And we haven't done it in a while, but it is still something, you know, that I know he enjoys to do. And when I wasn't able to participate in the scene, honestly, it was weird because a form of aftercare for me watching him scene, I would clean his cups.
And that's completely valid. You can... It was actually something we were talking about in a scene the other day, or about it in a class the other day, about scenes whose energy you were wrapped up in.
Yeah.
Right? You may not be an active participant, but that doesn't mean that the energy of that scene has not grabbed you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few people I know that when they scene, their energy explodes out of them. And it kind of captures a lot of people. And that's part of what scening is. It's the rise and the fall of the emotions and the hormones and all of that. So that energy that you... I've seen people just like completely trapped in it. They'll walk into a space and they're like, oh, shit. It's like a wall you're walking into. But if you sit there and watch it, it's super fun to watch. But you can experience your own drop after it, right? Yeah. And so having aftercare and realizing that, yes, you may not have quote unquote seened, but you were there watching that. That can fuck you up too if you don't realize you need the aftercare from that.
And I consider that a little bit like con drop. Like when you go to a convention or you do something like that, a couple days afterwards, you have that drop because you were around all these people with all this energy and all this excitement. And so it's the same kind of thing. All of your hormones and your adrenaline and all of this are going because you're in this space with all these people. And then suddenly it's taken away.
Absolutely.
So it totally works for not only just kink life, but vanilla life as well.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you go on a vacation, you come home, you drop a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, don't think that it's kink specific because it isn't.
Agreed. Do you happen to experience it more in kink? Yeah, usually. But it's not just kink specific.
Exactly.
Last question, Lucy. I want to hear yours before I share mine. What's one thing you wish you knew when you started?
This is so hard because it's like, it takes me back to when I was, so my first quote unquote kink relationship was when I was about 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
The person that was my top was not a good top. They were very much so abusive, very much so not on the consent scale, things like that. That can be a whole other episode.
We both share that beginning.
And so my first exposure to kink was actually really shitty. I wish at that time I had known that there was a community.
Oh, that's good.
I wish at that time I knew that there was FetLife, that there was Munches, that there was these things, because the only point of reference I had for kink was this one person who was doing it incorrectly that I have now learned.
Yes.
So I really truly believe, and it ended up being someone within the community that I didn't even know it was within the community because I didn't know the community existed, that ended up pulling me out of that relationship. And so it's one of those things where it's like, I wish I had known from the beginning that there was a community, that there were people I could have spoken to and I could have reached out to, and I had no idea. And that's why, not to toot our own horn, but that's why I feel like podcasts like these are so important.
Agreed.
Because if I had had access to this and had been able to listen to some of this at that time when I was 17, 18, my entire perspective would have been different.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's my biggest thing. I wish I knew that there had been a community and there were people I could have talked to and learned this was not okay.
Yeah.
So
I agree. That's a really good thing to know right in the beginning, is that there are other people out there who are very similar to you and very much the same as you. Maybe not all the way down to the same exact kinks, but there are people out there who are kinky, who want you to be as safe as possible and want you to be part of it and not feel ashamed of it and be in a healthy relationship, because this can't be healthy.
100%. And that's what's important to know. And it took me, I mean, even my next relationship after that, that was supposedly kinky, was not the best relationship. And it took me moving out of the small town, little city state that I was living in to the bigger state that I'm in now, with more
access to local community
and things like that, for me to even realize that this was a thing.
Absolutely.
So even if you're in a small town, there probably is a community.
Oh, there is.
You just need to look for it.
Mm-hmm. So for me, just like you, I had a really shitty start. I did find a community. However, it was a community of fringers. For those of you who don't know what a fringer is, it's the person who sits on the outside of the regular community and a lot of times is predatory, is abusive, has been kicked out of the local respected community, and very violently do not belong there. So I did not know that fringe existed at that point. So my first meeting was a munch, but it was a munch of these, of all of these fringers. And they warned me and warned me and warned me about this community and how awful they were and I shouldn't go to these munches. And they isolated me to keep me in this community. And one of the things they hounded into my head is that I, as a bottom, I, as submissive, I, as slave, cannot say no. So that is one thing I want everybody to know. And I have harped it in this podcast, and I will continue to harp it. Everyone is allowed to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Your boundaries must be respected. All right? That doesn't mean that my boundary of not sitting right next to a male, that's not a boundary, but if that were my boundary and a male came and sat next to me, I shouldn't just go, "You can't sit next to me. That's my boundary. Respect it." That means I get up and move.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I am the one who's in charge of keeping myself safe, whether that be with people I trust or whatnot. But that means that I need to be vocal in what my no's are, what my no is. Because my very first scene, I was told to sit down, shut up, bottoms don't get a choice. And so I want everyone to know that you have a choice, that you are able to say no, even in the middle of a scene.
Yep.
You are allowed to have those safe words, those safe systems, when you aren't verbal or you're gagged or whatever, that allows you to stop the scene immediately.
And just to add on to that, nobody can tell you what your words or limits or things are.
Absolutely.
For example, Sir and I have a thing where he comes and checks on me after he uses a toy on me a couple of times. And he'll be like, "How are you? Are you okay?" And I am allowed to say to him, and I don't yell it across the dungeon as some people have assumed, but I will say, "Right on that toy, please." That is how him and I communicate.
Absolutely.
I don't want that toy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't want that toy anymore tonight.
Exactly.
But it's, I have been shamed for that being something that is something that him and I do. Mm-hmm. And that's not okay. How Absolutely you communicate not. With your top is how you communicate with your top.
Exactly.
And how your top communicates with you is how your top communicates with you. You both have the ability to say no and put your own systems in place to make yourself safe.
Absolutely. And as a bottom, because this is, again, this is my frame of reference. I definitely bottom. But as a bottom, if somebody were to come to me and say, oh, I don't use red as a safe word, you have to use Barbara Manatee III, who is on her head and spinning around in a twirl. And then does a cartwheel, right? Like, I'm allowed to say, no, that does not work for me. I'm not going to remember that.
Right. If you don't want me to say red, can I say pineapple? Uh-huh. Like,
yeah. And like, if red is my safe word, if that is what I am determined to use because that is what I will remember or what I feel safe with, and this person doesn't want it, I am not going to play with them.
Yeah.
Right. I absolutely have that right to not play with someone. And I absolutely have the right to say, these are my safe words that I'm going to use.
Mm-hmm. These are my boundaries.
These are my boundaries. This is what I'm okay with. So.
And keep in mind, creating boundaries is not being...
It's not being a bitch.
Asshole. Like, you're creating boundaries. But keep in mind, there is a difference between boundaries...
And being a twat.
Yeah. But, all in all, I think what we want you to take away from what we wish we knew... is there is a community and no is okay.
Absolutely.
And the community can help you realize that no is okay.
Absolutely. The community you belong to should encourage your no's.
Exactly.
Which is why, the community I have joined where I have moved to and where I'm living now, a lot of them have thanked me for my no's.
Yeah.
Right? Because we want to build that culture where no is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And safe wording is acceptable because your top should want to not break you and want to be able to play with you again.
Exactly. And if your goal is to have your top break you, cool, but you can still say no.
Yes. Well, and there's a difference between let me break you down and build you back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just break you down and say, fuck you, bye.
That's true. Yeah.
There is such a difference because I enjoy being taken down and having that bit of a break. And letting them, my top, worry about everything.
Yeah.
But that is what aftercare is for. They're to build me back up.
Mm-hmm.
They're to make sure that I'm okay. And that I am there to play another day.
Yep.
Because that is the difference. The fact I'm there to play another day means they haven't destroyed me.
Yeah. And even if you've had these negative relationships in the past, you know, I know that it took me a while when I very first moved to where I'm at now. And... getting comfortable in that community, there was a lot of fear because of previous relationships, but communicate that fear and those people in that community will, how can I help?
Exactly.
I'm sorry you experienced that. How can we make it better?
Mm-hmm.
If they look at you and they say, oh, you're bitching for no reason, that's probably a red flag.
That is a red flag. Let's be honest, that is a red flag.
But... I think we need to wrap up because I think we're going to get kicked out of the campsite soon. And we have to also...
We got to pack and my girlfriend's birthday party is tonight. And I'm in charge of running that.
So that'll be fun.
We're going to go make cupcakes. Yay! Yay!
And I get to meet Binks and negotiate with Binks, who, spoiler alert, is going to be our guest star for
You
our
said it was going to be a surprise.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I lied. I thought you said the questions were going to be a surprise.
I don't remember. That was 40 minutes ago.
Either way. But I am going to do an impact scene with Binks, who is our negotiation person tonight. And I'm very excited to negotiate with her. And it'll be fun to record our negotiation. Well, we won't record the negotiation
for the podcast. We're doing that on Sunday.
Oh, that's fair. Even then, though, we could re-record the negotiation for the podcast.
Absolutely.
And
we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Either way, you will get to hear about Binks and I's negotiation and negotiation from Binks in
another
upcoming episode. Yay! So thank you for listening to Dark Side Adventures.
Out here in the woods.
Yes, with a fire and a creek and...
that really loud truck back there?
Yeah, and screaming children occasionally, so...
none of them were in the camp, disclaimer.
Yes,
no. None of them were nearby. They were on the other side of the campground, but yes. You could probably still hear them.
Yes, exactly. So, thank you for listening to DSA, and we will see you in the next couple weeks.
Bye!
Bye! Watch the way I start.